Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 46, just by way of introduction, same verse we started out with last Sunday morning. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. What I've been preaching the last several Sunday mornings and what I'm going to preach this morning may sound like it's some kind of conspiracy theory. It is not. And I would remind you, those of you that are born again, if it's in the Bible, it's not a theory. It is not a conspiracy theory. I don't preach any more than what's in the scripture. I don't try to read anything into it and read between the lines. And when I've got an opinion, I let you know it's an opinion before I share it. I try to be honest before you, and I want to be a Bible preacher this morning. So isn't it exciting to be alive today? All that is going on in the world, and you know the president of China, President Xi, calling for an end to all nations, and Putin cozying up with Russia, Gog and Magog, and then with China as well, the kings of the East. It's almost like history. It's almost like Bible prophecy is being lived out all around us. We know we're in the last days. I'll say this before I get to the message this morning. Again, no man knows the day or the hour. To set a date is a foolish thing to do for the return of Christ. But I know we are in the last days. The entire church age has been the last days. I know what the Bible says, but we're at the end of the 2,000 years of the church age, and so Jesus, we know, is coming very soon. I preached a series of messages. I started out in December to preach the message, the topic I'm preaching this morning, and each week, God would say, no, lay this groundwork. You got to explain this. You got to lay this. So it's been weeks since I started this message. I'm finally getting to it this morning. I preach in the church. I preach on the rapture of the church. I preach on the tribulation and the future of the church, that being the Bema Seat, that being the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we receive the kingdom assignment that we'll have, and then Armageddon. I preach on the Antichrist, the coming world leader. In fact, that was last Sunday morning. And I say this again, we don't know who he is. We are not told in the Word of God we're going to know who he is before the church is raptured. I do believe he's alive and on the planet Earth today. We are that close to the second coming, the rapture. And I believe he knows what his purpose is, and he knows what he's going to try to do. All right? And then, but we're raptured off of this earth. We are rescued from this earth as the church of Jesus Christ, rescued from the tribulation that is to come upon the whole world. It is not meant for the church. It's meant to bring Israel back to God. And then a last great soul harvest. There'll be 7 years of tribulation. This morning, I want to preach on the apostate church. I hope and I pray, it is my prayer, that I don't muddy the waters and in your mind make it confusing. I do hope that I whet your appetite to what the Bible says and give some assurance and understanding to the born-again child of God here this morning. Jesus referred to wolves in sheep's clothing, false prophets, wells without water, wandering stars. The devil's chief business has always been religion. I just want to read a couple of verses. Some of you will be familiar with them. They probably come up here, but turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. We just studied it in Sunday school not too awful long ago. 2 Corinthians and chapter 11 and verse 13. I can get there quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I remind you that religion has always been the devil's chief business. And make no mistake about it, religion is big business today. Religion is man attempting to fill the God-shaped void that is in his life with deeds and ceremonies, with trinkets and the burning of candles and ritual. and that will never fill that God-shaped void. But every man, woman, and child on earth knows there's a great being, there's a creator God, and that's why even in the jungles in the Amazon and in Africa, wherever it might be, everybody worships something. They know there's a God. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation and chapter 17. Oh, first let's go to 2 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. I want to read a singular verse here. Again, just laying some groundwork before we get to the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. John said, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." If you watch the national news, you hear words like today, like globalism, new world order, the great reset, even ecumenicalism, which is, and they're brazen about it, and they're using these words, and they're actually laying the groundwork for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. There are some great forces at work. Go to Revelation in chapter 17. Perhaps you are already there. Let me get there as well. Revelation and chapter 17. There are going to be two great forces at work during the tribulation. There is going to be religious Babylon and governmental revived Roman Empire. These are two great forces. One is the apostate church, and one is the government of the Antichrist. And they are both going to work together. And we find these personages in Revelation 13, just two of the places, which I preached last week, and Revelation 17 here this morning. There is another great force at work today, and I hesitate to use that term force, because it's so much more than that. It is the church of Jesus Christ. It is God the Holy Spirit working through the church, through the body of Christ, through New Testament local churches, and they're holding back the evil one, the salt of the earth. This is the church age. But when the church is raptured from this world, then there's going to be the revived Roman Empire, and there's going to be the revived Babylonian religion. And it's all going to take place in a space of 7 years. The first 3.5 years, the apostate church or the Babylonian religion and the revived Roman Empire, the governmental empire of the beast, of the Antichrist, will work together. Let me give you this real quick before we read Revelation 17. And for anybody that is a babe in Christ, I know I'm throwing a whole lot out at you here this morning. Halfway through the tribulation, at the 3.5 year mark, the revived Roman Empire, the government of the beast, decides it doesn't need the apostate church any longer and casts her off of his back. That is pictured in Revelation and chapter 17. Here's what you got to know if you're part. And ecumenicalism, I was with some brother preachers not too long ago, I'm sure glad somebody listens to me once in a while. And these guys aren't what I would call fundamentalists. And they were talking about ecumenicalism, and they know where I stand on that. And I take a strong stand on that. And one of them raised his hand and said, "I remember what Brother Rader said when I first met him. And he told me our two churches weren't going to get together here on this earth because we are completely different in the majority of Bible doctrine and will not compromise." And I remember him saying that ecumenicalism to me is like a swear word. It is an amalgamation of all the religions of the world just compromising and coming together. In Revelation chapter 17 is referred to as the great whore. In other words, going to bed with every theological belief that comes down the line. Very graphic language. I recognize that. But it's Bible. And it's what John saw and John wrote. The ecumenical church, the apostate church, is a church that is the false church. Apostate means it speaks of someone who knows the truth and then leaves it. The Bible tells us of the last days being perilous times, waxing worse and worse. For the life of me, any theological concept or belief that believes we're ushering in the kingdom of God, you're all wet. You think this world is getting better? Do you think more and more people are, the family of God is going to overwhelm this world? That's not how it works. On the other hand, we have a mandate, and that's to reach the world for Christ. And God the Holy Spirit will allow it, and there can be great soul harvest after great soul harvest before Jesus comes if we just stay faithful to God. But the apostate church is the false church mentioned in Revelation and chapter 17. Babylon is found, the word Babylon, 290 times in the Word of God. It is there in the book of Genesis that we read of Nimrod Bar-Cush, grandson of Ham. the apostate leader of his generation. He instituted the mystery religions to the world, where they had high priests and idols, and the difference between clergy and laity, and there was a supreme pontiff in religious orders and ceremony and the worship of a woman and the queen of heaven, all that's introduced way back in Nimrod's day. And if you ever want to read an interesting book, this is for the deep Bible student. It's not Bible, but in the year 1858, Alexander Hislop wrote a classic. It's called Two Babylons. He quotes 200, very, very academic man of letters. He quotes 275 authors in that book. It's called Two Babylons. Your eyes will be opened. Tremendous book. Go to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation in chapter 17. I want to get to some of the meat of the message here this morning. You'll notice the harlot, of course, is referred to as a her and a she throughout the book of Revelation. She thinks she's the queen of heaven. She thinks that all roads lead to God, and begins to diminish and does diminish right away the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a time of darkness when the apostate church takes over. It is a time of incense and ignorance and immorality, and it's not good. Before I read a verse, well, let me read one verse and let's go to Genesis. It says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away. And by the way, again, religion is big business. Speaking of a one world religion, a conglomeration of worship, ecumenicalism. Paul said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Leaving the gospel of Jesus Christ and saying basically all religions worship the same God. Ignoring the blood of Christ. Well, I'm going to say something about that in just a moment. But let's go to Genesis quickly. Genesis and chapter 11 and look at verse 4. And they said, go. They said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And you will recognize this as the Tower of Babel. This is man's effort. It's his religious enterprise with self-effort trying to reach the heavens. Total foolishness when you think about it. A ziggurat that would reach to heaven. Total, total foolishness. But man has been that way through the ages and has paganized Christianity. Well, I'm going to try to, God help me to bring this to a clear point as we work through the latter part of this message. So you got ecumenicalism going on. It's going on today. By the way, the World Council of Churches started in the 1950s, if I remember right. The American Council of Churches, somewhere just before 1980, where groups are coming together and just forming the precursor to the apostate church, to the one world religion, the revived Babylonian religion. And the devil, the Antichrist, is going to use it to gain credibility at the beginning of the tribulation. Revelation chapter 17 says, and there came one of the seven angels, seven vials. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. This is John. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. That is ecumenicalism. The angel is going to explain it in just a few verses. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scattered and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones. Is a man's religion beautiful? And pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. For nearly 1800 years, almost all Bible theologians referred to the apostate church as the Church of Rome. As a matter of fact, later in this passage, we read, he will sit and she will sit on the city of seven mountains. There's only one city referred to as the city of seven hills, and that is Rome. I do not believe, this is opinion, that the Pope will be the Antichrist. I don't believe that. I believe he'll be part of the giving of credibility to the Antichrist. It says, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Some of you that are Bible church history students, you know what the Reformation was all about. And lest we forget, the Pope's war against the Anabaptists executed 900,000 believers in 30 years. In 1535, it was proclaimed death by fire for all Anabaptists. 1559, 400,000 Protestants were burnt at the stake or martyred. Most agree during the Spanish Inquisition and during the martyrdom of the saints during the Dark Ages that nearly 68 million people were martyred for their faith in Christ. That is why so many thought, man, this is the tribulation. Of course, it was not. I do believe there is a person coming, a world leader, not calling himself the Antichrist, but he will lead. And in order to gain credibility, he's willing to compromise ecumenicalism. The apostate church will come on the scene. The apostate church will be on the back of the beast. And halfway through the tribulation, he casts her to the side. By the way, the devil doesn't bless anybody. The devil just uses people for his own purpose, and then he destroys them. Listen. If you're following Satan and the ways of the world, he will chew you up, and eventually you'll end up kicked to the curb. Just like the apostate church is going to end up, it's going to end up happening to them. In fact, there's going to be the kings are going to fight against them. Let me read. I'm going to have to read here. Verse 6 says, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Like, what's this all about? And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. So now, and I preached on the beast last week in Revelation and chapter 13, but he gives us some more light here. Verse 8 says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall descend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Remember, halfway through the tribulation, the Antichrist has a phony resurrection. Then he's embodied by Satan in the middle of the resurrection. So he's the beast that was. Again, verse 8, he says, the beast that thou sawest and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life, not saved people, from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. There were five emperors in Rome up to that point. Domitian was on the throne at that point. The next one to come is going to be the Antichrist, and then he was and is not. And the seventh and the eighth will be the same person, the Antichrist, after his phony resurrection. Verse 11 says, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. I remind you, he comes from the very pits of hell. And if you're here and you're wondering, what in the world is this guy preaching? I know this is deep for somebody who's jumping into the middle of it, but Jesus is coming back. He's going to rapture his church. There's 7 years of Jacob's trouble that is committed to bring Israel back to God. Israel, who has rejected Jesus as the Messiah. That's called Jacob's trouble in the Word of God. Jacob's sorrow. 7 years. The Antichrist is going to be the leader of the world. There's going to be a false prophet. There's going to be a revived Roman Empire and a revived 10 kings, and then revived Babylonian religion, and all this is going to take place halfway through the tribulation. The Antichrist does away with the apostate church, and then all hell breaks loose on earth. Literally, the windows, the gates to hell are open, and Apollyon and his demons come forth upon the face of the earth. And finally, Israel is going to retreat into the wilderness, call out to the Messiah one last time, and Jesus comes. That's Armageddon, and we'll be with him. That's the Battle of Armageddon, and that's in Revelation 19. We'll probably never get that far this morning. Verse 11 says, and the beast that was not and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. That's where he's going to end up. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. By the way, I told you last Sunday morning about that the image that is in front of the is in the plaza at the United Building in the, of the United Nations that completely resembles Daniel's vision and John's vision here of the last days. And I found out since that on January 6th of this year, last month, that statue was removed. The reason was everybody was asking questions and they didn't have answers. Interesting. Verse 13 says, these have one mind, talking about the 10 kings, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. He's gonna have a following. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. That's chapter 19. That's Jesus. For he's Lord of lords and King of kings. What a foolish thing to fight God. And yet people on earth fight God today. People on earth think they can outsmart God. They're smarter than God. They can do things their own way. Don't have to follow the word of God and fight God in their own way. But he's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, referring back to verse 1, where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The people of the earth. I want to say this. Everybody's important. You might be sitting in the auditorium or watching live stream this morning and you think, well, I'm just one person in a sea of people and God doesn't even know I exist. You are wrong. He's omniscient. He is absolute God and you matter to him. And he wants you born again. That's why Jesus came to this earth. That's why he died on the cross. And by the way, he's willing to shepherd you every day if you'll just follow him. He cares about you. He cares about your family. There's nobody on this planet that's unimportant to God. And that's why he's able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by Christ. Hebrews in chapter 7 and verse 22. You'll be born again today if you'll just come to Christ. You don't have to worry about these things. Verse 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Here's what happens. Revived Roman Empire, revived Babylonian religion, apostate church, always people who say, you know, and they're going to point people to the beast. They're going to say the beast, the Antichrist, is the deliverer. But there's revolutions going on the planet of the earth. And the 10 kings, the governmental revived Roman Empire, do not like the revived Babylonian religions. Do not like all that she brings with her. And so they undergird her, undermine her, and destroy her at the 3.5 year mark. Let me read just a little bit more. Verse 16, they hate the whore, make her desolate, naked. Verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Remember what we read in Isaiah in chapter 56? God's counsel shall stand. Here's the deal. He's either God or these things aren't going to come to pass. And he is God. Amen. And his counsel shall stand. And he said, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. Verse 18 says, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. I've got to summarize, and I knew I was trying to take on too much. Verse 18, chapter 18, verses 1 through 5, the collapse of the Babylonian Empire and the Babylonian religion. It says, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and has become the habitations of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. It's a call to the people, come out of her. There's a call to the people of the earth today to come out of the religious shenanigans and phoniness that's going on this planet and to come to the true and living God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That call to come out of the world system is there for all of the peoples and kindreds and tongues of the world today. And I'm just voicing it what the word of God says. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. It's a call to the peoples of the world to come to Christ. During the tribulation, it'll be a call to the remnant to get out of that system and get out of that city and get out of that area because the wrath of God is going to fall. We don't have time to read the rest of verse 18 or chapter 18, but it's a woeful and a total collapse. Look at chapter 19 and verses 21. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. Battle of Armageddon, just the previous verses. Which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Going to be an absolute and complete victory. Didn't have time to read the good stuff, the beginning of chapter 19, the rejoicing in heaven, where the battle is finally won, where we're there in heaven and we understand the real score. Then the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then Jesus says, mount up, man, it's time to go. And he rides down to this earth and destroys the armies of the world, the armies of the kings of the east, Gog and Magog, all of them utterly destroyed. The beast and the false prophet put in the lake of fire. The dragon, the devil himself, in chains of darkness and reserved until the last of the 1,000-year kingdom. Whole nother sermon. But there is an apostate church. We need to understand that in the day and age in which we live, there are forces at work that are apostate and yet claim to be true. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew and chapter 7. I'll close with this. Matthew and chapter 7. Just came to my mind. I'd like to read it for those that this might be somewhat new to you. And verse 21. The apostate church during the tribulation is not an end in itself. It is not the queen of heaven. That is not, it's the apostate church. That means false church. The false church that's at work today in the world is at work everywhere by way of compromising Bible truths. By the way, if it preaches anything less than Jesus' deity, his blood, his resurrection, and his coming again, that is a false message. He is deity. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I am. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is deity. His blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's the message of the cross. That's the gospel. His resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. His coming again. I will come again. If it preaches anything less than that, it's not the gospel. If it preaches anything more than Jesus, that's not the gospel. You say, what do you mean more than Jesus? Works, not grace. Ritual, not redemption. That's anathema. It isn't what Jesus did on the cross plus good works. It's all of grace. Remember what Paul said? If I preach any other gospel, if an angel from heaven comes down and preaches any other gospel, anathema. Let him be accursed. There's one gospel. But many, many have it confused. They add to or they take away. Jesus is the answer. I had to turn to Matthew 7. Many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name done many wonderful works, and I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. Make sure you're born again. If you're part of a church that doesn't preach the gospel and people aren't being born again, can I gently tell you? Get out of that church. You're wasting your time and maybe ruining your children and your grandchildren along the way. Man, get in a church that's preaching the Bible, that loves the Lord Jesus, where the Bible is the authority and gives out the truth and people are coming to Christ. Amen. If they're preaching anything less than Jesus, deity, blood, resurrection, coming again, that's not the gospel. Anything more than Jesus, works instead of grace, ritual instead of redemption. Hey, don't think for a moment you can go to heaven by your good works. Don't have the audacity. Don't be so audacious that you think you can earn God's perfect heaven. That's crazy. I'd have a better chance jumping from right here on this platform to the moon. I have no righteousness within myself. We need the righteousness of Christ. He is the only way to heaven.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.